What's up, everyone? Taylor May here with Security VIP. I want to thank you for tuning in to another episode of our podcast series, Your Home for Nothing But the Truth. And hey, if you're passionate about sharing the unfiltered truth and want to be featured in a community that's all about it, Security VIP is your home. Our community boasts over 2,500 end users in the security industry, spanning from sectors such as retail, gaming, entertainment, education, professional sports, healthcare, government, and even more. So whether you're eager to boost your company's visibility, showcase cutting-edge technology, or you want to address key industry changes, Security VIP is the platform for you. So if you're ready to dive in, shoot us an email at info@securityvip.net, or you can connect with us on LinkedIn at SVIP. Remember, Security VIP is your home for nothing but the truth, and we look forward to featuring you in the next episode. Stay safe.
You think you know me.
Today at Security VIP, we feature the CEO at Control Tech, Tom Meehan. Get ready for nothing but the truth.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Security VIP podcast. It's your home for nothing but the truth. As always, I'm your host, Taylor May. And on today's episode, we are featuring the CEO of Control Tech, Mr. Tom Meehan. Tom, my friend, welcome to SVIP. How are you?
Good, man. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Likewise, man. It's you and I were joking earlier before we kicked this off live. We actually had drinks at a bar a couple years ago at a retail show, and I feel like that's always the story of a great friendship and relationship is at a bar, you know? So,
yeah, it's funny. I've been around for a little while, and I meet people all the time, and at trade shows, that's where a lot of the best connections are made, is after the show. So yeah, and I it's not a different story. It's kind of like, where was that exactly?
Yeah, you know, I can't even tell you the bar, man. I know it was a good time though, I can tell you that. But Tom, man, obviously, I know it's not recent, dude, but I did see you are the CEO. When I met you, man, you were the president. So I do want to say congratulations, even though it's been probably a year now that you've had the CEO hat. But before we talk into the company, man, and what Control Tech does, because I want to make sure my listeners know what you guys do. Why don't you just give me some context about your background, your experience real quick?
Yeah, so probably not the typical journey to CEO. In the 90s, I started a company pulling wire. So I went to school for technology. I always thought I'd be doing something with technology, and started my own business. Ended up being pretty successful. But at some point, a buddy that I went to college with said, hey, man, you know, you can work here part time and get benefits and still run your business. You know, and I started working in retail, got into retail, got into asset protection, security, and, you know, 27 years later, here I am. I was really fortunate. I worked with some great people for some great companies, and I left, you know, what I would say is more of the traditional retail role in 2017 as a director of technology for Bloomingdale's, and throughout my career, had a host of operational roles, IT roles, but really focused on security, and came here. And at the end of the day, it all goes back to, in all the roles, is just doing what needed to be done, like, you know, doing what needed to be done in what we did. And you know, getting to the point of CEO was very different. I joined Control Tech as the chief strategy officer. I was really focused on product and technology and how we could align our vision with the customer's needs, and, you know, taking over the strategic initiatives of this company that, you know, Control Tech's been around, will be 50 next year. And did that role for almost 5 years. And then ended up, when we met, it was right around when we met, I took over as the president. And then a year ago, I was fortunate enough to take over the whole entire organization as CEO. And what I would say to anybody listening is, you know, ownership, grit, execution, regardless of what the job is, doesn't change. So, you know, if you're an operator, you're an operator. It doesn't matter where you are. And a lot of the things that I learned in retail translated directly into the day-to-day life of a manufacturing company. And the proof is, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Like, we're growing exponentially. We're more profitable than ever. The business is on fire. So it really
Awesome.
is about the hard work and dedication of the team around me.
Well, I think the biggest thing, Tom, I say this all the time when I speak with people like yourself with your background, the credibility that you have coming from the end user hat. I mean, I just checked your background. 13 years, man, at Bloomingdale's as an end user. And then you bring that to the manufacturer side of the industry. That's a huge instantaneous credibility pitching your product now to an end user because you were in that seat for so long, a decade, or a dozen plus years. So maybe walk me through kind of that process when you do pitch like ControlTech and walk me through the asset protection side, the ORC side. Everyone talks about shrink. Everyone talks about workplace safety. It's kind of annoying term in the retail sector, but everyone, it's still the problem exists, right? So maybe walk me through like your experience to an end user at a tier one or a tier two and say, hey, look, I've been in your position, for 13 or so years, and this is how we see it, this is how we solve it, et cetera. Walk me through that kind of process.
Yeah, I think it starts with when you think about practitioners changing over, is really understanding what your role is in the organization. And what I mean by that is that I'm an LP guy. I worked at Home Depot, worked at Bloomingdale's. That's the bulk of my career in retail, two companies. Not hard, almost 19 years in two places. And when I meet with a potential client or a partner or a peer, if it's a luxury retailer, I feel pretty comfortable with, I understand. If not, it's really not saying I've been in their shoes, is making sure that you're really listening to what the challenge means to them, and digging a little deeper. So when I joined ControlTech and had the product hat on, it was very, very clear that ControlTech listened to their customers, and we just continued down that path of saying, okay, great. This is what we know about the industry. This is what we know about ours. What are you facing? And taking a much more holistic solution approach. And we talk about design thinking a lot here. It's something that we teach workshops on, where I may have sat in your shoes, but I don't necessarily know exactly what you're facing and how it makes you feel. And I think you made the statement of like, it's this annoyance or this continuous problem. It's evolving, but it hasn't gone away. People are going to steal. Organized retail crime gets, evolved. So it's a really interesting one.
Oh, I mean, it's never going to go away. I mean, people are still going to steal. People are still going to have, issues at a retailer. I mean, I was, the other day, my wife, we just had a baby, by the way, but when my wife was pregnant, I would always be concerned because she would go to like a Walmart or Academy or a Bass Pro. And there was an event sometime where she went to a Walmart, which I'm not really a fan of Walmart, so I don't care if they shit on me for saying this, but she felt like she was being followed throughout the store, and then God forbid she's carrying my 2-year-old toddler, and then she's pregnant, or she was pregnant with our son, and I'm not there with her. So like, what is she gonna do in a situation like that when she's a vulnerable female? Because from a nefarious actor standpoint, someone that sees that was would especially like me, I would say, well, that girl's pregnant. It's gonna take her longer to load up the car. She's probably more vulnerable to being taken advantage of. So she had to call me just to kind of feel like at ease and stuff. But there's situations like that a lot, man, in retail environments where females and children are being taken advantage of because of their own safety and security. So, which I'm sure you've seen that too, being at ControlTech.
Yeah, and I think to your story, one, congratulations on the baby.
Thanks, man. Lack of sleep right now, but we're surviving.
It's a fun journey, especially if you have a toddler and a baby. But that's exciting. It's going to be fun when they're older and close together. But I think that's a great example of, so when you're thinking of a solution or a product, I tend to try to use the word solution versus product because I believe that you're usually going to need to combine things together to get a good result. That's a great example of, no retailer wants people to not feel safe in their store. I care what anybody tells me. I have a different viewpoint of Walmart, from a standpoint of like, I think Walmart is a great example of what happened, large retail, big box. But at the same token, I know I generally have friends there that I know they don't want people to come to their stores and not feel unsafe or be unsafe. And that's kind of a constant challenge in retail in general. By the way, I would argue in all industries, right? Nobody wants someone to come to their establishment and
Right.
not feel safe. So the key is, what can you do to make people feel safe and actually be safe in an environment that is challenging, right? Like in the last 10 years, the world has changed a lot. I can remember growing up in an industry where there was an evolution that we probably changed what would have taken 20 or 30 years in a year. And then COVID accelerated that, and demographic of where you live makes a big difference. So I think that's actually kind of ties back to what I said before is when we're talking to folks from a control tech standpoint, I always think of like how it affected me in the past, but then I'm like, how does it affect you? How does it make you feel? What does it do to your team? Because sometimes the solutions that we offer, while they may seem very simple, change the way someone interacts with something at work. It changes the dynamic of what their day is like. I use this example all the time. We were doing a design thinking workshop with a customer. I really don't remember which customer it was because I think that generally we do design working shop working shops. They let us talk about it here at Control Tech, and we were talking about goods being locked up, and part of the design thinking workshop was to go out and solicit feedback from employees, and so that you truly understood. And the person after talking to us said, I don't like this the way we do this. And after spending 20 minutes with the person, the reason they don't like the way they do it is because they missed the bus one day trying to get home because something was locked up and they were helping a customer. And what it turned out is like, look, I have kids, I take a bus to work, I miss my bus, this is why. And what originally was like, I don't like this, turned into this whole other scenario, which opened everybody's eyes to, all right, so this solution has much greater of an impact on everybody. And we were able to go back and adjust that solution. And that's a real life example of a lot of times in security, or especially when you talk about physical security, there's this pendulum of how safe can I make it before I make it difficult for people to operate? And that's not just retail, that's anywhere, right? Like I've got to be able to do my business. And I have a strong risk background is like the zero trust mentality of lock all the doors and close it down is a great mentality when you're a risk professional. But when you're trying to work and you go like, every time I try to do this, there's an obstacle, it's a challenge. And that's one of the things at Control Tech that I pride myself on is the team is going, hey, we want to build solutions or enhance solutions that the everyday solutions. And I know we were talking offline before. A lot of the things that about have been out there have been around for a really long time, but we're in this world today where we have the technical capacity to make things work together better and get a better result for the end user.
No, I agree, man. I think you hit on a lot of cool things there that I agree with. I had a conversation with Joe Doe, the VP of Corporate Security for MGM, obviously different market. But Joe's a good friend of mine. He said, Taylor, at one point we had our attrition rate at 60%. And that was because people didn't feel safe. Employees didn't feel safe. And if employees don't feel safe, sure as hell ain't gonna get customers to come in and spend money at the casino. And so but he's been able to reduce that number, I think, to below 20% by some of the things he's done. And another thing that comes to my attention that you hit on, as far as like safety and security and locking up merchandise, is you're 100% right, Tom. I had a conversation with Scott McCartney, who's the head of facility security for FIFA with the World Cup, and he said, Taylor, if people would just look up from their phones and said hi to you or greet you, we wouldn't have as many issues as you think we would. Because I think, because you're to your point, technology is advanced. A lot of people are glued to their phone. Everything you can do online now is crazy. But that human interaction, that customer experience, that feel good, that smiling at someone can go out such a long way, because you never know what the hell someone's going through. But I think that mentality, man, that culture, both from the employee side but also the customer side, is vital for retailers, casinos, hospitals, education, schools, especially schools with kids now. So I thought that was interesting, man, because you're right, technology is different, challenges are different. So we have to adapt and cultivate around that, you know.
And so Control Tech, we focus on retail and financial institutions, but we also do aerospace, logistics, and manufacturing. And one of the things we talk about here is, we're focused on protecting assets. And so that could be cash, it could be product, but ultimately people are the biggest asset. So like when I think of security, and risk, it is kind of industry agnostic. Like when you think about it, you might have different challenges by the footprint of how many people come through your door in a stadium or a casino, but that's no different than a flagship getting 10,000 people walking through the door a day. And I would argue in some of those environments, they're less controlled, more controlled, right? Like, when you think of an event venue or a casino venue. But one thing that you said that I think is falls on deaf ears a lot, and keep in mind that my whole life has been based on technology, right? My whole entire career is we forget the human element a lot of that. The technology is a piece of the puzzle, but the human element of providing service or saying hello adds a factor that is a lot of times falls on deaf ears. Like I am fortunate that I'm involved in a lot of industry things, and it's like we're looking for this, and I'm looking for the next thing that's going to drive this. But the reality is the human element, at least today, it still offers a lot of value. And your comment about the phone is like the lack of awareness sometimes influences a bad guy or a bad actor to do something, because there's a lot of studies, this isn't an opinion, there's a lot of books and studies that will say like bad actors that are looking to take advantage look for people that aren't paying attention, that look like they're not aware. If I'm walking around and I have headphones on, I'm looking at my phone, not paying attention, I'm a much different target than if I don't. And that is a reality of today that didn't exist, when I started in my career. That wasn't the thing. You didn't have a nation of people zombified on their phones. Like most people were aware. Yeah, you might have had someone with a Walkman or a pair of headphones on, but there were no Bluetooth headphones when I started working. It wasn't a thing. That wasn't the option. So it was a much different environment, and that all predicates some of the events that occur.
No, I agree, and that's a battle on the casino side, man. Just because I've made a living on casinos, they have a battle of, why would people come visit a brick and mortar store when they can gamble online and they can put on a VR headset and they can sit on their couch and they have their drink and they can sit with people, they can choose their dealer and they can all gamble online versus drive, fill up the car, get gas, go drive, park your car. Maybe there's a risk where your car gets broken into, but a lot of the casino professionals I speak with, it comes down to what we're saying is the human element, the human experience. It's the catering, the personalized white glove experience. So I want to ask you this question, Tom. In retail, man, I've seen like those machines that obviously, self-checkout's been around for years, but now it's like, do we get rid of that cashier element, man? I've seen like AI now, like Amazon now, it's like, shopless. It's like, you don't have to touch a machine. It's just like grab your shit and go, put it in the cart and go, So it's like, what do you see right there, man, with retailers? Do you see a lot of retailers still going forward with that or hybrid approach? What do you think?
I think that it's a loaded question because you'll read news stories about people are exiting self-checkout. I think that in retail, much like in casino or other industries, is there's an evolution and you need to cater to all of your customers. So you need the ability to have a little bit of everything. My belief on cashierless or the self-service stores in certain environments, I think you'll see it in an evolution of it. I don't think it's a one size fits all. I don't think you're going to see everybody doing the same thing. And I think that's the thing about all of the industries that we have to kind of be willing to accept is what you do in a market that has a lot of tourists is different than what you do in the Midwest, is different than what you do in urban. And if you try to take the cookie cutter approach, that's when you see the challenge. There's no doubt that labor is changing, that people are changing of what they want to do and don't want to do. But I also would say that that still doesn't take the human element out. If you go to a big box retailer, there are still people working. Self-checkout is one of those things. I recently was asked to participate in something with one of the magazines, and I said, this is my opinion. I've been out of this a while, but like self-checkout is about efficiency, but it's also about labor savings. It's not one or the other, it's both, because having one person manage six registers allows you to put more throughput as well. So is there more exposure to shrink? Maybe. I mean, yes, of course, But is there exposure because of self-checkout or the processes that you have in your building? I was in one of the wholesale clubs recently, and we went to self-checkout, and they checked the receipt at the while we were walking out of the self-checkout area, and then again. And I thought, okay, so that's how they're approaching it. I'm always very curious, process-wise, how people approach it. I think your comment before about casinos going online kind of molds together is if you want to be successful in the future, you need a platform that caters to the person that wants to go online, the person that wants to be in person, the person that wants self-service, and the person that wants full service. And if you think that you can take the one size approach, that means there's a high likelihood that you're going to miss a certain level of your customer. Because when COVID rolled around, I remember I do a podcast too called the Cash News Podcast about
There you
payments.
go.
And it was like, oh, that's it. Everybody's going to move to online because stores are closed. And the number of online transactions increased more than ever. And before COVID, it was right around 10%. And then it went through the roof, right? Because you couldn't shop. And then now it's peaked back down, and people still want to go to stores. Like it's just what it is. Is it generational? Is it age driven? It's probably a little bit of everything, but it also could be that, hey, I want to take the family out and want to go shopping. Like, I don't know that there's a one size fits all to any of these things. What I really believe is that if you think there's a one size fits all, you're probably going to miss out on a large percentage of your customers.
I agree, man. You've got to be. I think a lot of retailers as well as casinos have to be chameleons now on the markets and the demographics of people coming in, and obviously the introverts and the extroverts. Because obviously casinos, man, they have shows, and they have conferences and concerts going on, artists coming in town, so people still want to go to a casino at a brick and mortar, right? And your comments 100% spot on for retail, man. But I know we're wrapping up on time, man. I guess my last question, dude. We hit on a little bit of Control Tech, but like walk me through like just like the value proposition of Control Tech. Like why would someone work with you guys? I mean, obviously everything you said to me, like I love because I talk about the humane aspect a lot in selling. Like I would much rather, work towards a friendship versus a partnership in the beginning of a sale. Because again, like if I can earn your trust as a friend, then obviously sales will come down the road. But even if I can, I would still want to, make sure that you're equipped with the right solution. So maybe walk me through like what's the prime solution that Control Tech has that no one else has for an end user?
Yeah, so if I like to give like the kind of just quick overview because we're a lot different than I think people think. So we're 49 years old this year. We'll be 50 next year, and we have two divisions. One is a security packaging division, and the other is a tech division. And I'll just go through them both because it'll make sense and it'll all tie together. Our security packaging division is largely focused on protection of cash. So tamper-evident deposit bags. So, and that's agnostic throughout anybody who has cash. So we focus on bank, retail. There's gaming in there. There's all sorts of things in there. If you use cash, there's a high likelihood that you've seen or used one of our tamper-evident packages. And I always tell folks like in the United States, it's impossible to not have a physical bill that hasn't been protected in one of our products, which is like a really cool, good feeling to know. And in the packaging world, what segregates us from everybody else is we're laser focused on tamper-evident packaging around money. We don't make dog food bags, we don't make salt bags, we don't make sandwich bags, and all of our competitors just make bags. We are focused on tamper-evident packaging. What does that mean? That means that we can innovate in a space that really doesn't have a lot of innovation. We pride ourselves on being first to market. We were the first to have a triple closure tamper-evident bag. We're the first to have a 90% verified post-consumer recycled bag, which means that 90% of the bag comes from trash on the curb. Not, and the reason we can do those things is because we're focused and we don't do everything. We're not everything to everybody. We don't want to be. And in our tech division, a little bit different. We're really focused on retail in our product protection space. So we'll start there. And how we got into it, really, when you take a step back, I don't get to tell this story a lot, is, well, we were protecting cash for retailers for literally for 35 years. And then we said, hey, we're working with these people every day. How do we mold and diversify as an organization? We're the global leader in tamper-evident packaging. And so we started doing product protection 15,
Nice.
17 years ago. And that was really focused on EAS, so those towers at the door that beep and security tags. And I joined about 8 years ago. And in that space, we're also very focused. We don't do video. We don't do, we do product protection. One of the key differentiators from us compared to others, we're technology agnostic. So we're vertically integrated. We manufacture our own hardware for EAS, and we can do RF, AM, or RFID as EAS. Everybody we compete with does one or the other or two. And the reason that we built the platform that way is because we're not selling you a product. We're trying to help you protect your product in stores, which means we have to be agnostic because I know that all of those technologies don't fit in everybody's box. So some of our competition, and they're all great people, great companies. I know the folks personally. When you go and you have one technology to offer, you have to offer that technology, and it might not be the best fit. So in that space, that's where I think it's a clear differentiator from us. And everything I said is we go to market on let's talk to our customers about how we solve their problems. We're agnostic. We're also super focused there. And then in the next stack in our technology is around RFID for inventory visibility and real-time location. It's not even really RFID, it's inventory visibility, real-time location, and asset tracking. And that spans any industry, but retail is where we started, so we have a bigger penetration there. We do logistics and supply chain. And in all of those things, we segregate the selling teams, the service teams, everything. So when you're talking to someone, you're talking to someone that's an expert in it. And in all of those things, most of our competition does a lot of different things. In the inventory management space, we're a full service offering. I have field techs, can do design, implementation, development. And that really allows us to go in and say, hey, you don't need 25 people here. We can sit with you and work with you and develop a solution that will really solve your problem. And it's a lot of fun. We have three companies, so that's the way we look at it. And we've been growing since I started. I've been here 8 years, and I love the industries we serve. And we really, really, really are focused. And I think when I looked at growing up in the industry, you had a lot of behemoths that did your alarm system. They did burg, they did fire, they did camera, they did product protection, they did this, they did that. They did guard services. It's really hard to be good at something if you do everything.
Jack of
And
all trades, master of none.
we're focused on really being narrow by design.
No, I love it, man. You hit on it again. I mean, the open versus proprietary conversation is common, right? So it's better to have an agnostic background. But I agree, man, that the jack of all trades, master of none. I like when people stay in their lane and they're subject matter experts in their lane. That's all they do, and they live and breathe in that. The people that try to do the Superman mentality doesn't necessarily work. Half the time, because you get a half-baked solution, a half-baked product half the time. But I like that, man. But Tom, I know we're wrapped up on time, man. If people want more information about Control Tech and as well as yourself, what's the best place to do that?
Yeah, Control Tech is, probably the best way if you don't want to reach out to me directly is just find us on LinkedIn or the web. Our website is controltechtekusa.com. And then on LinkedIn, if you just search Control Tech. And then me personally, LinkedIn is the best way, man. Tom Meehan, CFI. I tell people I'm really active in a lot of different platforms. Love to engage, love to chat. And I really appreciate you having me on the podcast.
Tom, pleasure's all mine, my friend, and you're welcome anytime. And I'm sure more revenue this year, right? That's the goal for 2025, more revenue.
Solve the problems and make some money.
That's
Absolutely.
right. That's revenue's king. All right, guys and girls, that was Tom Meehan, the CEO of Control Tech. If you're not connected with him yet on LinkedIn, make sure to send him a connection request. And if you want more information about our podcast series, make sure to tune in at our website at svip.news. We are live on every single streaming platform: Spotify, Pandora, iHeart, Apple, Amazon. The list goes on. You guys stay safe. We'll catch you guys on the next one.